We continue in our series, Discipleship Training, and we talked about why we train, and we looked at the Great Commission, because Jesus said to make disciples, you have to teach people, teach the believers to obey the commands of Jesus. So we're going to look at that, and so Robert, last week, if you look at the three pillars, okay, yeah, we can wait. All right, so Robert covered the solitude. That's the time, that's our date night, that's our, in the vernacular, that's our time we set us apart for God, so that we might be with Him. Because the one thing about our faith is, I heard a quote. I was down in North Carolina for classes, and I heard a quote. It said, "Christianity is the end of religion." And I was like, "Wow, that's so good," you know. And religion is the steps, the how-tos to attain something, but everything we obtained, we've gotten. And nothing that we did. And it just leaves us speechless in that sense. But what we're doing as we spend time with God, and as we can see, all the training here, all this training, what is it? What is it? You know, I want to, you know, sometimes I have to step back because, you know, you come to church and sometimes I know if you're like me, sometimes you can't wait for this all to go home, take a nap, just relax, you know. And Robert's laughing because it's so true sometimes, you know. There's not a single world-class athlete that I can think of that isn't in some way happy about being a world-class athlete. And the call to being a Christian is not a call to be religious. It's not a call to be, in a sense, even just obedience for obedience' sake. It's because we serve a holy God. That means we serve a supremely, unimaginably happy God. Now, what that means is that He's a God that can be happy in all circumstances. I remember when we were going through Revelation, the vision that John received of heaven was a sea of glass, this tranquility and peace amidst the turmoil down here. And then we automatically think, because we project ourselves and our world onto God and say, if amidst all this turmoil and pain, how can you be so happy? That's God. God hurts for us. We know He has compassion for us. He wept over Lazarus, and yet He is supremely happy. I got a glimpse of that when my mom passed away. And I was extremely crushed. I didn't know what to do. You know, for many of us, you know, I know for some of you, I know how much our moms and dads and grandparents mean to us. And in the midst of that pain, God came to me. And and I know I shared this before, but to experience comfort and His hand of joy over grief is indescribable. But you get a sense and a glimpse what it's like to live this life. And Christianity isn't to nugget out. It isn't, it's discovering this holy ambition. Is the call to be a Christian is a call to supreme happiness. And I remember I also heard somebody say this. It was a television show. It's not a Christian show. And it said something, and I just chuckled because it's so true even for Christians. This was the quote. It's talking about marriage. It says, you know, sometimes you have to die a little to meet in the middle. Right? Isn't that kind of cute? Die a little to meet in the middle. And that's kind of the best, you know, I think sometimes we think that's what marriage is. You just have to die a little to meet in the middle. You know, maybe you don't talk about politics or religion and this and that, you know? And then you don't, you know. But God has something completely different in mind. Because He's supremely happy, that's what holiness means, is this supernatural, superlative kind of thing. So His joy is indescribable. So, we're going to talk about community. And you have to understand, to be supremely happy, you're going to have to die a little. Now, what do I mean by that? I experienced acupuncture in Korea. I've had acupuncture before. I really didn't think much of it. Ellen convinced me, this is Korea. This is where acupuncture is happening. All right? And you need to get some of that action, right? Because you're debilitated, having spasms and all this stuff. So anyway, I went. And that night, I was like, what the heck is this? I felt relief. I felt something I haven't felt before. Like, I could go to sleep, you know, without struggling to sleep. I could maybe even stay asleep. The next day, you know, it came back, but it wasn't, all right. But what it was, and we talked to the doctor. He says, it's called chimdo, right? And they only do it in Korea right now. I asked, because the VA sent me to an acupuncturist, and I was like, hey, and what it is, it's this special kind of needle with a knife, kind of sharp edge. And what he does is he goes and injures that site where the pain is happening. And when they injure it, then it heals. And so then your body responds and then makes it better. So why do we need, all healing is some sort of injury. You know what I mean? You know, what's surgery? You have to cut a little, right? To get some of that healing stuff. Medicine? I've never had delicious medicine. Oh, I love this medicine. Never had that. Physical therapy is like the epitome of pain to get a little gain. God put us in community. And I'm going to tell you this. It's painful. It's painful because God wants oneness, closeness. It isn't just about meeting in the middle, but it's about training towards supreme happiness. And you can't do it by yourself, by the way. You need the help of God. You need to learn to meet with God. You need to. So this requires training. It requires listening to other people. It requires being honest with yourself. So let's get into it, all right? Matthew 22:37, it says, and he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, this is lawyer asking Jesus, like, what is the greatest commandment? On these two commandments, it's the two sides of the same coin. Depend. Actually, in the Greek, I like the word hang because everywhere else in the New Testament, it's the word hang, right? Like hanging on a tree, hang. So all these other things that Jesus is commanding, you could hang that on these two commandments. You can just hang it. Okay? Now, where is all this loving, doving going to? And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. So I love that verse. And sometimes we look at it in isolation. So we know that when things are happening, you can't really... Sometimes we have this quick knee-jerk interpretation. When there's pain, it's like, ah! Our initial reaction. Even when I get a shot, it's like, ah! When in physical therapy, you go, hey, can you do this? Ah! And you don't want to do it anymore. But you have to kind of work through that a little bit, don't you? All right? And that's what this is. Now, we sometimes read this and go, okay, everything that's happening, you know, I mean, it's the greater good kind of theology. And I love that. But it says, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Now, what does that mean? That means God is doing everything in your life so that you can be supremely happy in any and all circumstances, but through the path of Jesus. We call that the cruciform life. The Holy Spirit will lead you through valleys, pain, all manners of stuff. So there's two kinds of happiness. Getting away from pain, right? Into fun, that's good. And so a lot of times we need that. We call that a vacation, okay? You take your children, and not so much, you know? Sometimes, all right? We should have had all the kids leave. But anyway, but what this is talking about is there's a singular goal of God, and that's why we're here on earth, not in heaven. This is the last prayer of Jesus, lengthy prayer of Jesus, all right? The last quiet time that he has with God. And this is what he's asking. The one thing he asks, I do not ask for these only, and he's not praying about us, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, praying to the Father now, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, and me, and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, I in them, and you in me, that they may become what? Perfectly one. Now, there's a kind of oneness. Like, if you've ever been on a sport team, and you're a tight sports team, and you're really close, that's oneness. It's not perfect oneness. Perfect oneness is everybody on that team is mean to you and mean to each other, and you learn to stay one. Now you're getting close. But as you can see, Jesus is talking, because he's leaving them here. And they want mature, because that word in Greek means mature. It's a maturity, it's a mature oneness. So it doesn't have to have the perfect circumstances. People don't have to be perfect to be perfectly one. All right, so where are we getting to this? Timothy 4:7 says this, okay? It says, rather train yourself for godliness. What is godliness? This godlikeness, the image of his son. It's relational. Sometimes we read that and go, train yourself for godliness. I got to memorize a lot of Bible verses, know the Bible in and out, be theologically savvy, and maintain the doctrine. That's part of it. But hear me, all the command of Jesus doesn't hang on those things. Hear what I'm saying. All the commands of Jesus do not hang on your theological correctness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life, and here's the kicker, and also for the life to come. That means whatever you're training for here is going to last for eternity. It's important that you go through this training. Jesus died that you may have this training. So let me just rephrase the verses that we just read. Godliness is the work of the Holy Spirit and the devoted effort of the true believer to conform to the relational character of Jesus by training through moments of tension, division, hurt, disappointment, betrayal, offense, and grief when it seems so optional. When it seems so optional. As you can see in the commands, it's not so optional. All right, here are the 8 measures. So I don't want you to think it's like infinite. These are not exhaustive. So we're going to be covering, it's probably what we'll be covering in our membership training. Serving. Having an eye for menial labor. Not everybody is gifted like Cousin Andrew. We notice when he's not here, by the way. Putting others first, giving sacrificially. You remember this idea of giving sacrificially? We know all of this. What did Jesus say? It's more what? Happy to give than to receive. Jesus is teaching us how to be happy How to be a giver. The Holy Spirit works through that. Humbling yourself. Self-awareness. Do you know that it takes humility to actually gain self-awareness? That the Holy Spirit actually is wanting that for us? And you have to, in those moments of tension, hurt, remember disappointment, you have to die. You have to die. It's so shocking. It's like an athlete. I remember when I went to, my first cross-country practice. I was trying to, I was trying to train for soccer. And I remember I went out and they made me run, I think it was like a couple miles or something. At least I thought it was a couple miles. I was huffing and puffing when I came back. Then that's when I realized that was a warm-up run. I was so floored. I was like, oh my gosh. He said, all right. And then had us on the first day of practice, he assumed that people were training throughout the summer, had us go out for like 6 or 7 miles. It'd kill me. All right. It's this unanticipated suffering. We think that this life, we think that your husbands and your wives and your children should be better. You have to prepare to die a little bit. All right. Also, humility, you got to park that rights. I have my rights. I'm right, you're wrong. You have to park that. Jesus parked it. Abide. This is really, if you can kind of, so much of training is staying in the pain, isn't it? You ever see people going through physical therapy? You ever see that? Right? And then 6 months later, they fast forwarded and it's like, he's trying for the marathon or something. Right? Abiding. It's a command, by the way. And it's at the heart of actually loyalty. We're not fair weather friends. All right? We're a stick it in there kind of friend when things get tough. Reconciling. Look, things are going to boil over. Tensions will arise. Divisions will be happening. But let me put it this. In all of this, though, by the way, the secret sauce is humility. It's humility. You just got to understand. If somebody says, oh, he has such a teachable spirit, it just means he's humble. That he's willing to allow that situation to teach him. And by the way, when you allow the situation to teach you, it's because your relationship with God is more important than whatever is whatever. Your promotion that you didn't get, the things that, whatever is the right that you're having to give up, everything is secondary to your love for Jesus. Reconciling is that. It's one of the best forms of loving Jesus. How does he say that? It is because remember the guy's trying to give a gift, leave a gift at the altar. He says, go and the greater gift actually is you go and reconcile. I love that. That's how you love Jesus. Embracing. We'll talk about that. Forgiving, uniting, lifting up. So let's go through this. All right. Here's what Jesus commands. Whoever wants to become great. Now, by the way, becoming great, we think it's so optional. The command to be holy as I am holy, it's not optional. I know sometimes we read this verse and goes, well, I just don't want to be great. So I guess I don't have to really humble myself. No, that's not true. He assumes, because the rest of his disciples are pretty upset with John and James when they ask that question. You know what I mean? Of course everybody wants to be great. We have so many influencers now. It assumes you want to be great and you should want to be great. But then we have to be a servant. The pathway to greatness is a following of Jesus into servanthood. And Jesus exemplified that when he washed his disciples' feet. It also means that you have an eye, okay, for those who who are in pain, who needs to be served in that moment. That takes training, by the way. You don't always notice, okay, the hurting people around you. It takes training to have an eye for that. And I know that many of you do, because I hear that. And I appreciate that so much. Just through love, serve one another. Elsewhere, it says, serve the Lord with gladness. That's the thing. It's not just duty, right? It's duty plus the Holy Spirit. Oh, that's gladness. I don't know a single athlete who wants to be a world-class athlete that is in training with gladness. Do all things without grumbling. Grumbling makes it like somebody owes you going through this. Yes, we have difficult people in our lives. All right? We have a thing in the army. You know what I say? Thank you, sir. May I have another? Right? When they drop you to do push-ups and stuff, make you go through hard training, thank you. May I have another? Difficult children, thank you, Jesus. May I have another child? I know. But you know what? Giving thanksgiving is exactly what that is. Saying, God, thank you. I can't think of a better life. Just step back. Whether you have a child or you don't have a child, that isn't the issue, is it? The issue is whatever life you find yourself, you couldn't have designed a better life, because whatever life you have is the most optimal life for you to be able to be trained towards the conforming into the image of His Son, towards supreme happiness. Humbling yourself. I told you, this is the secret sauce. If I have to put an asterisk, I will put it on that. Because there is a flesh in all of us, an ego, that's screaming, get out of there, leave. I mean, God counters it by saying abide, bear. I mean, love. I mean, these are, but it's the ego that just hates training. John 16:8, when He comes, He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Here's the thing, folks. Sometimes we don't know what to treat. The job of the Holy Spirit in those moments, okay? Maybe not in the moment, but sometimes, you know, we get to be Monday morning quarterbacks. Sometimes we do the after action review. Sometimes we huddle and say, okay, this happened. What's God saying? And more often than not, it's you. You know what I'm saying? It's me. You just have to die a little bit more. The Holy Spirit's job is to point out aspects of your character that's keeping you from being supremely happy. I don't know a single person, by the way, who is happy and not humble. Never met them. Ones with big egos, you know, because what happens is you get a lot of money, you get a lot of big ego, and you know what happens? You become very particular. You have to have the perfect situation to be happy now. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Now, that's just God. Thank you, God. I do pray that God would make us humble. I pray for that. I pray for that almost daily. I hate praying for that. And I hate it when the day comes when He answers that. I hate it. When I say I, the flesh hates it. The Christ in me loves it. And I let Him know that. Thank you. Matthew 15:8, the people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Isn't that what Jesus said to the church of Ephesians in Revelation? That they have lost their first love somewhere along the way. It isn't about following Jesus. It's following a program. You know, it's like carrying out your duties. It's about being right. All of a sudden, it's not about Jesus. It's not about loving Jesus. It's about doing the right thing. But you know what? We need help, don't we? There's nothing. Here's what I'm saying. It's like God gives grace to the humble. If we just would say, God, you are perfect. And this situation and the people that you've given me are perfect for what you're about to teach me. And just lean into it. 1 John 1:8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This was a hard one for me. The women in my life, okay? Now, I grew up in a household where our voice was elevated quite often. We're very close, by the way. We're very tight, you know, the siblings. But we argue, you know, we duke it out sometimes. But I got nothing but love for you. You know what I'm saying? And they know that. And I know that about them. But the women in my life, they require a little bit more gentleness. My tone can't be like that. Now, for so many years, I insisted that there was nothing wrong. And in that way, yes, maybe. In a sterile sense. But you know what? There's a requirement to be gentle, isn't there? There's a requirement to be kind. It's not about you and your rights. There's a greater law of love here at work. And I was looking at it in a very sterile situation. I was wrong. I was sinning. I was breaking the law of love. Now, this is very difficult still. But boy, it's a hard one to wrestle down, isn't it? Right? Speaking to somebody in a way that talks to them and not at them. James 4:10, humble yourself before the Lord. Again, what would he do if you humble himself? He will provide grace. He will lift you up. He will make you happy. But 1 Peter 5, it says, clothe yourself with humility towards one another. Oh, be so quick to apologize. Be so quick, you know, to die to yourself. This is not easy. This is so hard. The only thing that matters, and the question comes up again and again and again, am I enough for you, Henry? Am I enough? And the truth of it is, yes, he is enough. What else do you need? You know what I mean? And he just wants you to be happy. He wants to train you. And he's so good. Abide. This is about loyalty. Now, by the way, Hesed in the Old Testament, that one of the names when God is speaking the glory to Moses, he's speaking his name, he's talking about steadfast love. That's the translation. But it means covenant loyal love. That's why you hear in the Bible, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's not like us. God's not a running God. Let me put it this way. God's not a running away God. God is always a running towards God. And that's why the command is, because I'm like that, abide in my love. Abide in me. Abide in one another. Here's the thing. This is how we know, right, that you're my disciple. If you what? Have love for one another. This is covenant language. This is it. I'm going to stick in their language. I'm not going to run language. Luke 10:38 says, Mary sat at the feet and listened to his teaching. That's the thing. Because sometimes what Jesus is saying here is, just slow it down. Don't let this become a religion. Keep it a relationship. That's why the supporting, when I say other New Testament verses, it's really just supporting what Jesus is saying. Do not neglect meeting together, but encourage one another. They devoted themselves to fellowship. It requires devotion to meet together. Because you know what? Then it devolves into just online stuff. You know, like, let's just catch up online. You know, you never see somebody. You know, like it just becomes a thing. And by the way, the best thing we can do to our children or for our children is to be supremely happy. And supremely happy in difficult situations, by the way. Which is another way of saying to be trained by the Holy Spirit. Reconciling. This is a big issue with Jesus. First, be reconciled to your brother. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault, but privately. Like, Jesus does not want space, because that's where the enemy is at work. That's where divisions happen. Jesus' ministry is a ministry of reconciliation. And he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Colossians 3:13, bear with one another, and if one has a complaint, forgive as the Lord forgive you. That means it's just given that in any given family, in any given church, you're just going to have to forgive a lot. And the question is, how many times? That's what the question Peter was asking, isn't it? We'll address that later. Embracing. You have to train yourself to love difficult people. There isn't a happy church that I know of that doesn't involve difficult people. Matter of fact, everybody needs a people of pain in your life if you want to be happy, if you want to be trained. Even your enemies. Luke 6:27. This is actually, you know, one of the hardest things for me is actually praying for people who have hurt me. I mean, like really praying for them, like wanting to bless them kind of prayer. That's supernatural stuff, by the way. Who does that? You. You. I can tell you, if you endeavor in this, if you have faith for this, it's transformative. Transformative, like supremely, joyously transformative. Listen to this. Jesus, love your enemies, do good, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. This is holy supernatural stuff. This is the goal. So you have a smile on your face and go, wow. I mean, I can do stuff like that. Not by yourself, you can't. But if you want to transform to the image of God, yeah, that's absolutely where he's headed. Matthew 5:43, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Jesus, can you stop talking about this? Matthew 25:40, truly I say to you, as you did unto one of the least of these brothers, you did it to me. Amen. Who are these people? And here's what you don't do. You don't look to the left and you don't look to the right. Oh, because they're not doing it, you don't do it. No, you look up. You look up. Hopefully you have people in your life who's endeavoring to do this. Now, Romans 12:14, bless those who persecute you, overcome evil with good. So, look, the rest of the New Testament is just supporting what Jesus is saying. Do not repay evil with evil, but with blessing. That's Paul and Peter now. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide? What John is saying is, when you see that, that's the moment to shine. That's the moment to shine. That's the city on a hill. You see a need? Oh, forgiving. There's only one part of the Lord's Prayer that is repeated. And that's Matthew 6:14. It says, if you forgive others, this is how it ends. If you forgive others their trespasses, your Father will forgive you. Kind of a big deal with Jesus. Kind of a big deal in prayer, isn't it? If the Lord's Prayer, if forgiving others is repeated, only part is repeated twice, you would know, okay, this is like the test question. It's emphasized. Now, how many times do you have to forgive your husband? More than you think. How many times do you have to forgive your wife? Your children? People don't realize you have to forgive your children too, by the way. They hurt you. They say mean things to you, by the way. You forgive them. And you know why? In Christ, with the help of the Holy Spirit, you absolutely can. You absolutely can. And then here comes the supporting verses. Paul says it in Colossians. Forgive as the Lord forgive you. That means you don't bring it up. As far as the east is from the west, you don't play it back. I know people who hold grudges for years because they're not forgiving the way Jesus. It takes devotion and commitment not to bring up stuff when you're fighting. It's wrong of you to do that. Because it says what? Forgive as the what? Lord forgave. Not as John or Henry forgave. Or like the way you want to forgive. Be kind. Part of kindness. If you meet a kind person, but it isn't extremely forgiving, they're just nice people. Kindness. Notice the supporting phrase here. Forgiving one another. As Christ, as God in Christ forgave you. That's the example. James 2:13, mercy triumphs over judgment. Amen. I'm glad it does. Uniting. There is nothing greater on Jesus' mind than oneness. It is what he prays in his last final disposition with the Father. And he commands it. Love one another. John 17, that they all may be one. How can the world believe that what Jesus is getting after in the gospel, the supreme oneness with a divine being, is actually possible? But oneness, here's where training comes in. You can't be one with God, nor can you be one with other people of his body without training. That means you have to realize you're in that moment. And not be surprised that it's difficult. That you married a difficult person. That you have difficult children. That church people and your pastors are difficult. John 15 says, love one another. Here's the other thing. As I have loved you. And here's greater love. Has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends. High bar, isn't it? That's what it means to be holy. The supporting verses, live in harmony, do not be haughty, associate with the lowly, be inclusive. Always an empty seat at the table. Never cliques. You have to be trained for that, by the way. You know, when we have lunch here, sometimes we always sit with the people that are most comfortable. Sometimes it takes training. It takes training to sit people that you're uncomfortable with. Bear with one another in love. Bearing is carrying each other's weight. Because Jesus is bearing our weight when we yoke with him. Be united in the same mind and judgment, no divisions among you. That's our goal. That's our training. And then finally, lifting up. The words that come out of our mouths, I categorize it in two ways. Sometimes we have small talk because we want to be neutral. Small talk is neutral because some people have a knack for saying, oh, they just got diarrhea mouth. You know, it just, they'll say stuff and it's like, wow, you didn't even try to be offensive. You know what I mean? It's all of life, what Jesus is bringing us to is tearing down our natural tendencies, right? Our natural tendencies for division. And one of it is, we're just judgmental people, aren't we? We are judgmental. And Jesus says, judge not that you may be judged. He says, first take the log out of your own eye. We have such a high view of ourselves. So defensive in relationships and friendships. The first thing Jesus says, and I was like, judge not. Just work on you. Focus on your own training. And here's something amazing. When Jesus is really, foretelling Peter's betrayal, this is what he says. I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. I mean, it's going to fail, but not ultimately fail. And Jesus, you can see, knowing that he's going to betray him, he loves him. And then this is what he says. And when you have turned again, when you have come back, he says what? Strengthen your brothers. Isn't that what he asked Peter when he met him the following morning after he rose from the dead? What does he say? Do you love me? And then he goes on, then feed my sheep. Do you love me? It's this mindset to build others up. We don't have to be neutral. We can try to say stuff that's encouraging. Try to notice if they're going through some things. Small acts of kindness. That takes training, though. I mean, sometimes we have to talk about it in our small groups, you know, because we want to grow to be builders, not breakdowners. Here's it. When you do that, you're the light of the world. I love that. Being a people that go out of their way, right, to build others' life, that shines. Because why? So that they may see your good works and give glory. That gives glory to God. Who is this God? Where are these people getting this? So we die to those natural tendencies of judgment and gossip and corrupt talk, divisive talk, breaking somebody down. But only such as good for building up. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, encourage one another and build one another up. Okay, let's pray. I just want to pray. I know we began our talk. God wants to meet you in your place of pain. That's really what this is. Training is not something you go through on your own. He's not forsaken you to go through it alone. I just want to pray, okay, and I want you to pray, just with open arms, just to receive just the fellowship, the oneness that we have with Jesus, the oneness you have with the Father. Heavenly Father, God, thank you for your faithfulness. I just pray now, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would go and you would pronounce love, God. that you would bestow peace, that you would empower forgiveness. Lord, that you would stir up humility. Lord, and an ambition to serve. God, to be holy as you are holy. To put words of encouragement. God, help us to embrace, God, those around us. God, all, God, is, and to love broadly. God, would you help us to be devoted to following you and to be with you. So Lord, shalom, God, over our people. God, be a balm, God, over our wounds. And Lord, would you provide joy in the midst of grief? Would you give us, Lord, peace in the midst of our turmoil? And train us, God, to be like you. In Jesus' name, amen.